Moncrief on News Talk.
Is Ireland in the midst of a psychedelic renaissance? Science is rediscovering the medicinal potential of stuff like magic mushrooms and the chemicals contained therein as treatments for the likes of PTSD, depression and other mental health conditions. UCC recently held a research day which explored the traditions of psychedelic use in Ireland and their possible use in the future. Professor Oliver Davis of UCC organised the day and he joins me now. Oliver, how are you today?
Good, thanks, Tom. Thanks for having me on the show.
You got through your research day in one piece.
I did. Yeah, it was a really packed day. We were really honoured to have some visitors from Canada, Kelly Daniels, an elder in the Native American Church in Canada, and also Professor Erica Dick, who's one of the world's leading historians of psychedelics, and Mancor McGann graced us with his presence and gave a great version of his Rewilding the Mind talk.
My word. When you all afterwards head off to a local pub to celebrate that, did that all go strictly, you know, above board?
Absolutely. We went to Dwyer's of Cork. It was great. And we had food and drink.
Very good. I think when people think of psychedelics, they almost inevitably think of the Beatles in the 60s. And that is kind of where that culture was coming from, wasn't it? Because in the early 50s and 60s, when it was launched, it was psychedelic drugs were kind of seen to be the future of psychiatry, weren't they?
They really were. There was a huge amount of optimism in the 50s and 60s for these drugs, you know, which literally the term psychedelic is, as you and your listeners may know, it means mind opening. And so there are all sorts of kind of experiments with psychotherapists and their patients. And they seemed really to be the kind of future of curing mental illness. And but then, of course, Prohibition happened. So the Nixon administration at the end of the 1960s decided really for political reasons that these drugs could no longer circulate. So there was a kind of intensive national and then international campaign to clamp down on psychedelics and other psychoactive substances. So we really lost the potential of these substances for decades.
What was the risk there? Was the problem so much that they were unregulated? Because it was Timothy Leary famously making it available to everyone. And that idea of turn on, tune in, drop out, that was everywhere. But it was just very unregulated, wasn't it?
It was unregulated. So, yeah, I mean, Leary, so he was a professor of psychology at Harvard University and was doing experiments with psychedelics with colleagues and also initially with graduate students, and then sort of started handing the drugs out. And for understandable reasons, the university wasn't very, very happy with this. I mean, it's also the case that kind of heyday of experimentation with psychedelics preceded the thalidomide cases, and so the restrictions were really brought in after that to kind of clamp down on unregulated experimentation.
It was very dangerous, it has to be said. But the attitudes, you think, are turning, the tide is turning in people's attitudes to psychedelics and other drugs now?
I really do think that. I mean, you can see this in a kind of cultural overspill from the biomedical research that really restarted in the 1990s. So authors like Michael Pollan have been really influential in this, talking about the benefits of psychedelic drugs. You can also see it in Ireland specifically. So in the recent Citizens Assembly on drugs, they had a lot of submissions on the benefits of psychedelics, and of course recommended that legislators pivot away from a kind of policing response to drug use towards a health focused response.
Right, so they're kind of doing research to see how, when they were initially launched as the future of psychiatry, there really was something in it, though, was there?
Absolutely. And we still, I mean, obviously I'm not a biomedical researcher, but I read and I'm familiar with the biomedical research. We sort of think that they work by making the brain more plastic, more malleable, more flexible. And so they have a lot of efficacy against, as you mentioned, all sorts of different conditions, but things like addiction, PTSD, OCD, that can be thought of as a sort of pathologies of too much rigidity in the brain, if you like. So psychedelics loosen the brain, make it more plastic, and they also kind of imbue us with a sense of childlike curiosity at the time. So they can be really effective. All the evidence suggests really that they can be really effective remedies if used carefully and in the right way.
And there's talk of some of them being used successfully in the treatment of alcoholism. How is that?
Yeah, I mean, in fact, that was one of the first, the kind of first uses of LSD, actually, in Saskatchewan. So the psychiatrist Humphrey Osmond was brought over to specifically address kind of prevalence of alcoholism in that part of Canada. So I mean, alcoholism, like any other addiction, can be conceptualized neuroscientifically as a kind of pathological rigidity of the brain, so kind of circuits of anticipation and reward that are kind of co-opted by the drug, alcohol in this context. These are the kind of loosened up by the psychedelic. And so, I mean, in psychedelically assisted psychotherapy, not that this is practiced at the moment, really, in Ireland, in medical settings. It is in other places. What happens is, you know, one or two or three high doses of psychedelic are given in conjunction with psychotherapy to basically kind of loosen the hold of this pattern of alcohol dependency, and it proves to be really effective.
Wow. In Ireland, there is talk that we had an ancient history of psychedelic drug use. The Liberty Cap and the fly agaric mushrooms are widely available here, and people believe they were used here in Neolithic Ireland.
Well, this is one of the things we were keen to think about in the research day. So I suppose I should admit, first of all, there's kind of no hard archaeological evidence. So Chris Reed from ATU, he was present. So he's an archaeologist, and he says at the moment, you know, we don't have kind of hard archaeological evidence. But of course, this is soft plant matter, really. So
yeah.
It may be that in future we will have evidence when we can analyze kind of soil samples for spores around ritual settings and objects. But there is kind of some evidence, and some scholars are very convinced that kind of in the Irish tradition, there's evidence, for example, that Cuculain, when he wanted to fight warriors on all sides, would take fly agaric to induce the riastrach, the kind of battle spasm. If you think about the kind of story of Finn McCool and the salmon of wisdom and the hazelnuts that are involved in that story, some scholars think those hazelnuts are actually kind of disguised references to psychedelics, probably to the fly agaric.
God, that's a whole other take on the salmon of knowledge, isn't it?
It is, absolutely.
Oh my God, John Lennon, you had no idea what you were getting us into. And they say also that may have all been disrupted by colonization, is it?
Yeah. So that's certainly a significant factor in all likelihood. I mean, I guess also because these were stories, obviously part of an oral tradition that were later transcribed, pre-colonization that were transcribed. And it may be that the monks primarily who were transcribing them either didn't understand allusions to psychedelics in the stories, or they did understand and they wanted to censor them. And then of course there is the whole fact of colonization and the suppression and the destruction of traditional knowledges that went along with that.
More stuff for us to blame the Brits on, I'm afraid.
Absolutely.
That yet more. I'd say everyone listening to this is going to be off to read their stories of the Fianna now and Cuculain and see what references they can find in there. I'd say they're going to find loads. Professor, thank you very much for joining us today. Lovely talking to you.
Thanks so much, Tom.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.